I woke up and I couldn't fall back to sleep, so I decided to utilize the time, and I pulled out my Bible. And I opened it up, and right away it opened up to Habakkuk. I'm not sure how you say it in the South. Habakkuk. The pronunciation here confuses me, so Habakkuk is what I've always known. Anyway, that's what it opened to. And so normally I don't open my Bible and just, you know, start reading. But I just thought it was interesting. I opened right to that book. So I read it, and nothing was really jumping out at me until the very end. A couple verses stood out. And then it was after that that God started asking me some questions. And these questions I'm going to ask you. The first is, what are we expecting when we come to church? What did you expect when you came here this morning? Did you expect anything? It's Sunday, so it's church day, so that's what we do. We go to church. I come a lot of times because it's Sunday. Were you expecting to be fed? Are you expecting the pastor to preach something to feed you? Are we still like children that have to go to our parents to get fed? We come to church, we want the worship team to usher us in the presence of God. We want the speaker to feed us some meat for us to get through the week. And maybe we want to say hi to a few people. Is this what church is supposed to be? You look at the book of Acts, and in the early church, it says that they all came together, right? They were of one heart, one mind, they were united, and they brought everything that they had, everything. They sold their properties and brought it all together, and then the disciples distributed it out, and it says the most profound thing. No one had need of anything. I can't even grasp that. I mean, is there anybody here that can say you have no need of anything? Probably not. And I look at how we've been doing things and just the church coming with the idea to receive, the people coming to receive. And Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he said, I've given you authority and power, which we have because we have the Holy Spirit. And he said, freely you have received, now freely give. And that verse just stood out to me so much with the past tense, received. Freely we have received, freely give. But yet we're still coming to church to receive something. And that shouldn't be so. I spent a lot of time a couple weeks ago on hold with the produce department. They're very hard to get a hold of. So that's a warning for you. I called multiple stores, and I spoke to one person. and I was just trying to find expired produce. And I felt like I was beating my head against a wall because it just wasn't working out. And so I, you know, just started talking to God and saying, you know, why? Why is this happening? Why is this not working out? I like to do that when things seem like they're not panning out well. And I just wanted to see, is this just some opposition? I'm supposed to, like, American Gladiator, run through, you know, and burst through the wall? Or am I doing the wrong thing? You know, and I knew God, as far as, like, the farm and everything, God had gotten us to that point. You know, I think about the verse that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And God, he's light, right? God is light. God is also the Word. So if God is light and the Word is a lamp to our feet, why do they use the word lamp? Why did he use that word? Why couldn't it be like the sun, like something big and massive? And that boggled my mind for a little while until I realized that a lamp, its light only shows so far. And God, when he speaks to us and shows us somewhere to go, usually it's just that, like, next step. You know, get to that step, take the faith, get faith and take the step. And then as time goes on, he gives you the next step. If he were to give you the whole picture, we would blow it. I've done it before. God's given me a bigger picture. And it was like, okay, Janae, I'm sending you to the beach. And I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, awesome. The beach. Okay, well, here's a sandy path, so this must be the way God wants me to get to the beach. And he's like, no, Janae, I want you to go through the forest. What? Why am I going to go through the forest? You know, and it's because he sees that it's the shorter route. But we don't see that. So he just lights up the path right in front of us. And so here I am. This is where God has me, but I'm hitting a wall. So I'm like, okay, God, what's going on? Why am I not getting through to the produce department? And it was, I started thinking, why didn't I come ask any of you, my church family? Why didn't I just start asking you guys, like the book of Acts, like, hey, does anybody have some expired produce? I mean, how many times do we throw an entire container of salad in the trash can? But why am I going to the world? Yes, it's logical. You need produce, go to the produce department, right? And that's how we think. Well, that's how the world thinks. But we are not of this world. And yet we continue to go to the world for things. Do you have a question? Google it. That will get you your answer. Our immediate response is go to Google. And we have knowledge at our fingertips. You know, on our phones, we could just go Google whatever question we have. And that's what we do. You have a symptom, WebMD it. You know, what does that start doing? We start putting the God Google or the God WebMD before our God. You have a symptom and you start thinking about it. And you start thinking, oh my gosh, this is bad. This is getting real bad. I mean, this could be cancer, you know, and you start dwelling on it. It gets in your mind and you're not taking captive every thought. And God's over here. And you're slowly. Do I need a different microphone? Does this keep cutting out? I'm sorry. Okay. Just let me know. And you're God. So God's over here and you're continuing to dwell on the symptoms. And then you go and you Google it, you WebMD it, and then the symptoms on there are like, oh, it could be cancer. So now you got those thoughts going in your mind, and you're continuing to just move away from God. And then you're like, I need to make a doctor's appointment. And the doctor's also going to tell you like the world. Hello, hello, test, test. Check, 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 test. Hello, good. And before you know it, you've planted a seed, you've grown a tree of cancer over yourself. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you're speaking and thinking these thoughts, and you've just created cancer. It could have not been there, and now suddenly it's there because you spoke it into existence. This should not be so. We got to stop going to the world for our answers. Go to God first. Even in the little things like the produce, you know, needing produce. So I was thinking about church and how we do church, and it reminds me a lot of a movie theater. You show up at your appointed time, and all the seats are facing the same direction, right? And you come in wanting to be entertained or receive something. And the whole time, you're evaluating what's happening before you. And then the service ends, the movie ends, and you talk to your friends. And you're like, hey, what'd you think of the service? And like a movie, you go through what you thought. Well, you know, I was a little distracted. The guitar player's hair was out of place. Josh. You know, there was a lady up here in flip-flops. Well, that's rude, you know. You start evaluating things. And you're like, actually, you know, the message, the pastor got up, and it was, I don't know, it was kind of slow, and I wish he would have gotten into Old Testament and given me some back history on these characters that he's talking about. And where was the climax? There was no climax. You know, and then the ending, it kept going on and on. It was like he had an ending, but then he tried to use a different ending and then added another ending, and it's, what is this, a Christopher Nolan film, you know? Just keeps going on. And that is how church is. Ever since I was little, I've been going to church, and it's always been the same. It's pretty much the same thing. You go in, if you get there early enough, you fellowship, then you do worship, you greet each other, and then you get the word, and you fellowship, and then you leave. And I have never found that outline in my Bible. And I don't know how we got here. Man must have created this way that we do things, and then we've just continued to do it that way. You know, just and then it just becomes like it is God. It is God's way because we're just so used to it. We don't question it anymore. We show up to church starving, complacent, and weary, waiting for the pastor to feed us. Like teenagers that never really left home. We keep coming back to raid our parents' fridge. We walk around like we don't have the Spirit of God and like we need other people to help us. The Bible says that we have no need that man teach us anything. Can you fathom that? You have no need that man teach you anything. We don't need Google, you know? We have no need. And then he backs it up with, because the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. If we really, truly believe that, I think we might live life a little differently. The Bible isn't full of stories about a bunch of babies. David, when he showed up to Goliath, he didn't show up with an entourage of support. He didn't have the church body following him around and encouraging him. He showed up by himself, but with God. And then later in David's life, before he became king, he was anointed king. Saul was still reigning. He makes a poor choice. He decides to go help the Philistines, actually. And he goes a few days' journey with his men to the Philistines. And then the Philistines are like, no, because they're going to go fight against Saul. And they're like, you're an Israelite. Saul's an Israelite. Like, this is a trick. So the Philistines say no. So he goes back days' journey with his men, back to the camp where they were, and the entire village has been burned to the ground, and all of his family, their families, all their possessions, everything has been raided and taken by the Amalekites. And they don't know where they went. They are in the middle of the desert. And none of the men went up to David and said, you know what, we got this. We're going to find them. No, the Bible says that they wanted to stone him. Talk about being in a very lonely situation. I would have curled up in a ball, probably cried, ate a couple bonbons, maybe watched a sad movie. I don't know. But David, it says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And by doing that, he was able to step out in faith. And he knew, all right, God's on our side. We've got this. And so they went. They walked in the desert looking for an answer. And through that, God was able to give them their answer. There was a sick Egyptian that they found that had no food or water for 3 days. And this is also interesting because here David is in the worst need of his life. And here's somebody that needs him. And instead of saying, I'm sorry, I got some better things that I got to get going to. We got to find our family. Like, I've seen the show 24 hours or whatever it is where they're trying to search for the missing person. It's like, you got to find them in 24 hours. And the longer you wait, you know? And so David could have thought that. But instead, they revive the sick Egyptian, having no idea who he is, where he came from. And he turns out to be the sick Egyptian slave of an Amalekite. And he's going to tell them where all their stuff is. And so they get their stuff. And so I like to think about that. When you're in a need of your own, don't dismiss somebody else's need, because that could be your answer. Helping them could help you. And that's what we're called to do. And what about Samson? He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He had a jawbone. Like, that's not very big. I mean, a donkey's pretty big, but the jawbone, I mean, he had to get close to people. You know, if I had a weapon of choice, you know, I'm going to pick like one of those jousts from medieval times, you know, that long thing, like try to poke people from far away. No, he had to get really close. And then you have Adino, who used a spear. Now, that's my kind of man. To kill 800 men. Shammah, deserted by the Israelites, his people, he stood in the midst of a lentil field and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought on a great victory. And that stood out to me because it often reads that way. The Lord brought on a great victory. But what we sometimes don't notice is that Shammah still had to do the action. You know, sometimes we're asking for something from God and we're wanting him to just drop it in our lap. But that's not the case here. He had to stand in the midst of the lentil field and slay. It's like slow. Slay the Philistines. But the Lord is the one that brings on the victory. So we have to take the action, and then God's going to be there with us to follow through. Benaiah. Okay, this guy's crazy. He chased down and killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. It really goes into detail there for a reason. And I have no idea why he had to kill this lion. But he chased it down. So again, he's doing the action. He's chasing it down. He's jumping into the pit on a snowy day to kill a lion. Eleazar, after the Israelites departed from him, also the Israelites are scattering and running away from their people, arose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was so weary it was stuck to his sword. Have you ever done something for so long that your hand is stuck in that position? I think about school, in elementary school, I remember I felt like I was writing so much that my fingers were stuck in the holding your pencil position. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be remembered as an Israelite complaining in the desert or deserting my friends. The other day I was thinking about the property that we have, and I know I still haven't shared the testimony of that, but it's really, truly amazing what God has done, and our property is just beautiful. And usually when I think about the property, I'm overwhelmed in a good way, but this time I was not. I was just dwelling on just all the things that it has entailed, all the work that comes with it, and learning new things and new animals. And running a farm, it's kind of crazy. And it's not where I saw myself. You know, before we came here, we were living in Monterey, California. It's a peninsula just 2 hours south of San Francisco. It's right on the water. It's a retirement community. So the people there are just real nice and nobody's in any rush. Pebble Beach, where the golf, you guys know golf. That's where that is. It's right there. And we lived in a duplex, and our bedroom window overlooked the ocean. And I don't mean it was like, oh, hey, that blue line, that's the ocean. No, it was right there. And we were so close, you could hear the sea lions, you could hear the seagulls, you could smell the ocean. There was sand in our yard. I rode my bike to work. It was awesome. I worked at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and it was beautiful. And I also was working at a community television station in Santa Cruz with a church that was doing a live talk show. And I started off there as just an intern learning how to edit. And then I became the director of the TV station. And also, in my spare time, I would go to San Francisco. And I was a fit model for Old Navy, which, I mean, I'd like to say it was because I was fit, but that's not what a fit model is. I was sized to the size that they sized me, whatever. And I would go to Old Navy, and the designers would be there, and they'd have me put on some clothes. And then I'd just stand there, and they just wanted to see how it fit the average woman. And they paid me $150 an hour to stand there and do that. And, you know, I've always had a heart for the entertainment industry. That's my background. And so anyway, all this to say that this is where I have felt called, is the entertainment industry and all of those things. And now, here I am. God's lit up that spot I was talking about, the lamp to the feet thing. Here I am in that spot. And I know I'm here for a reason. I know I'm on this farm, and God's opened these doors and all of that. But I can't see any further, you know. And so I'm getting caught up in my circumstance. And I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. I'm learning how to milk a cow, you know. We've had to chop off the head of a chicken, and it chased me without its head. I've had a skink go up my vacuum cleaner. I don't know what you do when that happens. I just put the vacuum outside. I didn't know what to do. I've had a lizard jump on my head. Jameson ate a cricket in front of me. He said, Mom, it's easy. You just, you know, you pop the head off and then you squeeze the guts out and you eat it. And I said, Jameson, no, that's how you use a Pez dispenser to eat candy. We don't eat crickets. I have a sheep that wants nothing to do with me, and he has a temper. I have two goats that, you know, are very cute, but they're eating all my plants. My blueberry plant, it has like two leaves now on it, and I'm pretty sure by the time I get home, they'll probably be gone. And whenever I try to put the kids in their car seats in the car, the goat jumps in. I open the trunk, the goat jumps in. And I open the front door to get in, and she jumps in. I've had a rooster peck my toe thinking it was food and, you know, take a little chunk out of my toe, and that did not feel good. So here I am, again, just dwelling on all these things. And I'm like, God, you know, why do you have me here? What am I doing here? And the Holy Spirit nudges me, and he says, Janae, this sounds really familiar. And I said, yeah, you're right. I'm an Israelite, and I'm complaining in the desert. God, why did you bring me here? Did you bring me out here to die? You know how many times I've read the Israelites complaining in the desert? I'm sure you know, because you've done it as well. And you're just like, really? Get a grip. You know, God just did all these, you know, miracles to get you out of Egypt. And he's giving you manna from heaven. You know, Moses hits a rock and water comes out for you. And here you are complaining again, you know. And it's easy for us to say that because we know what happens. They end up in the promised land and all of that. But they didn't even have the Spirit of God living in them. They had to carry it around. And here I am doing the same thing, but with the Spirit of God living inside of me. God, in all of his fullness, is living inside of me. But we don't tap into it. We get distracted. We don't spend the time in the presence of God. We don't abide in him. We don't get in the secret place. We don't pray and seek him like we should. If you seek me, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. And here we are, doing the same thing that our forefathers were doing. God's living inside of us, and we're acting like a bunch of sissies, lying around waiting for our friends to rip the roof off the house to bring us into the presence of God, because we can't get there on our own, because we don't. Not that we can't, we just don't. We should be daily feeding ourselves with the promises of God, and church should just be a continuation of that. We shouldn't be showing up starving and hungry. We should be coming with a meal to share, preparing and ready to share for a meal. When I show up to my family gatherings, I don't expect my parents to provide all the food and do all the talking. Maybe my brother does that, but I don't. I told him I'd make fun of him. No, if my parents are bringing the ham that week, I'm bringing the mac and cheese. And I'm going to talk to my siblings, and I'm going to find out what's going on in their lives. And if they need something, I'm going to give it to them. Or if I know somebody else that has it, I'm going to get them in contact with that person. I'm going to listen to their lives and hear what's going on and want to know. And this is how the church should be run. We should be like a family. We're coming together. We're sharing a meal together. And we're seriously looking, we're talking to each other and finding out what it is that's going on in each other's lives so that we have no need of anything together as a family. That's why God calls us his children, and we're called brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's adopted us into his family. And I think that is what church is all about. The church has become such a predictable, systematic process that we've lost sight of what we were called to do. What are we called to do? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. People that are destined for hell walk around us. This is a church like no other because not many churches have people destined for hell walking around their building. And people come to the windows. I've seen them come up to the windows and try to peek in. And actually one lady opened the door and she popped her head in. And here we are doing the church thing. And we're waving her in. God brought her all the way to the door. We're supposed to go into the world, and God brings a lady all the way to the door, but we're doing the church thing. So we don't reach out to her. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me that day and with that lady, and she was destined for hell because I went out there. I didn't know what I was going to say. You know, I had no idea. And I just knew the Holy Spirit was telling me, go, Janae. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go out there. I barge out the doors, you know, probably terrify them. There's three ladies. And I just spit out, do you know Jesus? This is an elderly lady. She's very old. And she's with her two daughters. And the first lady from New Jersey, she says, I don't feel comfortable asking or answering your question. And I don't want to talk about it. And I say, okay, that's fine. So I asked the next lady, do you know Jesus? And she smiles and she says, yes, I do. And I can see it in her eyes. You know, you can see the light. And I'm like, awesome. And then I asked the elderly lady and she does not know Jesus. And what's amazing is I'm talking to this lady and just sharing Jesus with her. And the daughter that knows Jesus is just sitting there, standing there. And she's just, you know, like just so happy in her eyes, but also almost begging me, keep talking. You know, she's been praying for this. That's what I see. Please keep talking to my mom. I've tried to get through to her. I know she doesn't have much time. And New Jersey probably wanted to punch me in the face, but she stayed there and she listened. So seeds were being planted. And I didn't lead that lady to the Lord in that moment, but I know that I was either watering seeds or planting seeds, and there's somebody's going to harvest that. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People will say, that's not my calling. I'm not called to be an evangelist. You know, that's other people. But we're all called. You may have a ministry that God's set on your heart, and that's what you do and you're good at. But every day you're going out into the world, you're doing something, and every day you should be reaching people, talking to people, planting seeds, looking, keeping your eyes up. You know, that's something that God spoke to me as I was in the grocery store. I was so caught up in my list, you know, that I'm not paying attention to the people that are walking right by me. You know, who cares about the list? I'll do my best, you know. Brett may get mad at me later if I spend too much, but you know, I could tell him I brought somebody to the Lord. And yes, let's not forsake the fellowship of the brethren. I hear people say that a lot. Well, we can't forsake the fellowship of the brethren. But let's not make that our only source of food for the week or an obligated ritual. It's Sunday. We got to go not forsake the fellowship of the brethren. The Bible says that we nullify the word of God by our traditions. Jesus actually said that. Did you know you could nullify the word of God? You nullify the word of God, make it void by your traditions. And yes, there should be order to things. God is not a God of confusion, but it doesn't have to be a specific order. We've always been doing this specific order, but maybe God wants to change it up, you know, and this church, you know, does at times change it up, which is awesome. Let's spend time individually in the presence of God and bring something to share. And getting into the presence of God really isn't that hard because the Holy Spirit is living in us. The presence of God is living in us, just like they were carrying it around. The presence of God is inside us. We just got to figure out how to hear him, how to tap in into that fullness, into that power. It's all in each of us. It's going to take effort on our part, and it's going to take time that we don't have. It may be 2 a.m. you're getting up, or waking up an hour early for work. Or two, if you're a person that hits snooze for an hour. I don't know anybody that does that. We'll have to make time. So an insane person does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And that's kind of, to me, what the church has been doing. We just do the same thing over and over again, hoping that something else is going to come of it. If you want change, you're going to have to make change. It starts with you. Stop waiting for somebody else. And I have a story where I waited for somebody else. My grandmother, my mom's mom, passed away in 2005. And she had 10 children. And there are a lot of offspring from those 10 children. It's an Irish Catholic family, so they had a lot of kids. And I went to the funeral, and there were 100, we counted 100 of us, blood relatives at this funeral. And I was in the restroom, and a little girl came up to me, and she said, "Are you my cousin?" I said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, who's your mom?" And she says her mom's name. And I was like, I don't know. Who's your grandma? She says her grandma's name, and I said, "Yes! You're my first cousin, once removed. I know it." So anyway, here we are in this funeral, and they open it up, the microphone, for anybody, any family that want to get up and speak. And again, this is a Catholic family. I think a couple of them are saved, but majority probably not. And the Holy Spirit just starts giving me something that I can say that would honor my grandmother, but lead into a salvation message and bring hope to these people that are, you know, desperate for hope and joy. And it's so good. I'm like, wow, that's good. Like, that actually is tasteful. This could work in this setting. You know, you want to be tasteful when it comes to a funeral. So I know God's telling me it, but I do the thing that we do a lot. And I started to talk myself out of it. Well, maybe that wasn't God. You know, it's just me. I wouldn't have thought of that brilliant of an idea, but, you know, I start thinking that way. And before you know it, I do the next thing that we do. God, if you'll just give me a sign, you know. And so the sign I come up with is, well, my dad's a man of God, and surely he'll see this opportunity, and he'll get up and speak. And then as soon as he gets up, then that's, you know, my family. He's showing up for my family. I feel like I could go up too now. He represented us. So that's what I tell God. Well, my dad doesn't get up. So, I mean, then I'm it's clean slate, nothing, right? I didn't have to do it because God didn't give me a sign. And the next day, I'm at the grocery store with my dad. We're walking out to the parking lot, and he stops in the middle of our conversation. And he says, "I missed it." And I'm like, "You missed what?" And he says, "Yesterday, they opened up the mic for anybody to get up and speak, and all of that family doesn't know the Lord. And we had an opportunity to share Jesus. And I missed it." And that cut to my heart. I was like, no, I missed it. God was telling me, and I didn't get up. And yes, don't have regrets, but I use that as a catalyst now, because I really cut God's work out for him, because all 100 family members were all in one room at one time, and he had something for me to give, and I didn't give it. And now they're all spread out over the country, and now he's got to get other harvesters to go and reach that family. Don't wait for somebody else, and don't say it's not your calling, and don't be afraid, even though it's hard, of what you're going to say. God will give you the words to speak, just like these great men of God that I read about that had to step out and do something, and then God followed through for the victory. And that's what we have to do. We have to step out, and then God brings the victory. There was not a backup plan if David didn't show up to Goliath, because all the other men were already there. And so God had to get a kid. And he got this kid, and he used him where he was. He wasn't a fighter. I mean, he killed some animals with his slingshot. God didn't go and make him a master swordsman or something before him getting to battle. No, he's like, you got a slingshot. That's all we need. Let's do it. I mean, God doesn't need anything really, but he used him, his talent, his ability, and God was preparing him all his life. He didn't know it, but God was preparing him for that moment. And God is preparing each of us for our moments. So you just got to step out. And you look at Gideon too. You know, God told him, you have too many men. You know, get rid of some more. Get rid of some more. You have too many men for this battle. And he said, because if you guys, when you go and you win, you're going to think it was on your own. But I need to prove that it was me to you. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to prove to you that it's him and it's not you. I don't know about any of you, but I don't want to be one of those that Paul says that shrinks back. You know, I want to press through. I want to press in. I want to get deeper with God. I want to move forward. I want to do what he's called me to do. I want to go into all the world. And I don't want to be a coward. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk and make progress on my high places. And I love that. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk. We've got to walk. We've got to do it. And God, again, he's going to be there to see us through. Lastly, I was praying the other night, and I was just, you know, talking to God. And at the end of my prayer, I just stopped and I said, okay, God, now if you want to say something to me, I'm going to give you a chance. I've been talking your ear off. So I just got quiet, and immediately he said to me, Peter had to get off the boat, or had to step out of the boat. And that was it. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, Peter, he had to get out of the boat. So I went to bed, not really sure what he was saying. And then the next morning I got up and I was thinking about it. And I realized how applicable it was to my entire message. That though everybody else stayed in the boat, Peter got up, and he didn't just get up. He had to step out onto the water. And then there was Jesus. So don't be like the others, you know. Don't stay in the boat. If God's calling you to do something, step out, and he'll be there to help you. Thank you.
Now, here's another thing we do. We walk out of here and say, man, Janae had a great message today, didn't she? And we go about our way. Okay. This message this morning is not about us saying, good job. This message is a challenge to each one of us. Look at where you are. Look at how you go about your day. And ask God to show you, what is this day about? What is in this day for you? Who is he going to put in your path today that needs that word? You may not have to run them down. He may cause them to bump into you. But I pray that this morning we will take this as a personal challenge, each one of us, and maybe rethink, maybe look at, I'm I won't say I'm constantly doing this, but I over and over again think, God, what is Sunday about? What, you know, and we do, we fall in the rut. Okay, we all come lead us in some songs. Okay, is somebody going to speak? Maybe you, whatever. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And we got to find that more. And I think that more starts with us. And I think that you've challenged us this morning in that. And I'm going to ask you if you'll do this. Will you just pray over us that this will not be a word that we say good word and not action come with it? Would you challenge us there?
God, I thank you for your word, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the calling you have on our lives, Lord Jesus. And I personally just ask for forgiveness for any missed opportunities, God. Yes. Lord, let those opportunities be the catalyst to stop me from missing another opportunity, God. Father, we know that you are living in us in your fullness, in each one of us. God, help us to understand how to utilize that. Your fullness and your power are living in each one of us. Help us to access that, Father, and to use it, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom, Jesus. I thank you for this wake-up call, Lord, to get us to move, to get us to step into gear and do what you've called us to do, God. Lord, let us not forget the words that you've spoken to us today. Let it fill our hearts and our minds. Give us a desire and hunger for more of you and for more of your word, Jesus. I thank you for each person here, God. And I just pray, Lord God, that you just impact their lives, Lord Jesus, and you begin to show them areas and things that you want them to do or do differently, Lord God. And I pray, God, that just like Jeremiah said, you'd be like a fire shut up in our bones. We wouldn't be able to keep our mouths shut, Lord Jesus. That when we do run into that person, Lord, that opportunity, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us and you say, this is it. Open your mouth. And we would say, here I am. That we would be obedient. God just needs willing people. God, help us to be obedient and hear your voice and be sensitive to your spirit. Let us not go back to the normal routine. Let's start a new one. And maybe it's not supposed to be a routine. Let's start something new altogether. I just thank you, Father, that this will not stop here, but this is just the start of something new that you're doing in all of us and in this body. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.